welcome to AC Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Laura.
And we're back from a slightly unexpected hiatus-ish.
Yeah, I forgot I had plans last podcast day, so.
But we're preemptively ready for next time, because we're going to do it instead of every other week for next time. So instead of 2 weeks, we're going to do it 3 weeks out, so we're back to our original rotation. Yep. So sorry, folks.
Are we?
Yeah, that's what we discussed upstairs, that we're going to skip next week, and then the week after would be...
The off week. And then the next week we'll be back.
I thought that was our new rotation, that we'll be back on the new rotation.
Oh, yeah, it'll be back on the new rotation.
Because right, the old one was on my days off, and we decided those were that other guy's
days. That was the old,
off.
Old one.
Oh, old. Okay. I didn't know that there was an old. I thought there was just the old and the new. Okay.
We just make it up as we go. I don't know.
Yep. 3 weeks.
But yeah, we'll be back in 3 weeks, and then it'll be every other week, unless there's other complications of scheduling and whatnot.
Tell me like 3 days before.
Okay.
Then I can read the books.
Okay.
That's my request.
And we can maybe come up with a topic.
Psh.
Speaking of topics, let's talk about a bad topic. Bad costume designs.
Okay.
Which is a good topic, but it's a bad thing to talk about, and I don't know.
Yeah, I felt bad because I hate to be like, oh, things I don't like, but this one costume was just like, I couldn't put it, couldn't not talk about it, you know?
I mean... You always feel bad, though, so that's okay.
Yeah. It's okay for me to always feel bad.
It's okay for you to feel bad about picking the topic because you always feel bad. And speaking of feeling bad, though, why did we pick this topic? What inspired this, Laura?
I was inspired. Our book club book of the week is Batman Reborn. And in it,
Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn.
Well, that's not what I wrote down. I don't know what we read. Now I got to get into hoopla. Or do you have the actual book?
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Batman, Robin, Batman yep. Reborn. I just wrote down Batman Reborn. Yep.
The series was Batman and Robin. The story arc was Batman Reborn.
Okay. And that came out in 2009? Is that right?
That sounds about right.
Because it was right before-ish the New 52.
It was about a year or so before New 52.
So, well, I think New 52 was 2011, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
I know it was after I started working the shop, but it wasn't much after.
Yeah, this is pretty much right after Final Crisis, where Bruce Wayne gets, quote, killed by Darkseid, except for he wasn't. He was sent back in time and something weird. It's Grant Morrison.
They did to him what they did to Steve Rogers. Right? Oh, he's dead. Never mind. It's not. But technically...
If you're comparing the two, DC did it better.
Well, technically DC did it first because they didn't reveal it till later when they brought back Steve that, oh, he wasn't dead. He was in a different dimension. Like,
yeah.
He was, quote, dead for several years.
But Darkseid hit Batman with his Omega beams. Steve Rogers got shot in the gut with a pistol.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two different, you know... A man-made weapon versus a godlike
when they
weapon.
Evacuate. I don't know. I read the thing of them explaining why it happened to Captain America, but I still don't understand how it happened.
No. I didn't care at that point.
Physically possible. Yeah, other than
he was not dead, but he is. Yeah, he was not dead, so it's fine. But anyway, sorry. Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn inspired it because.
I didn't like the costume that Jason Todd had as Red Hood in this issue.
Yeah.
Series of issues.
Yeah. It goes back to the old Red Hood costume with the giant pill bottle head.
I finally found that after I was trying to do some research and I was like, oh, well, I guess if it's an homage, that's a little different, but.
I still liked it better when they changed it just to like a face mask of like
a skull.
Almost like a red skull.
Also, that with an actual Red Hood. Like, when that's your name, I feel like you should probably have the Red Hood.
But yeah.
I guess I'm particular. I mean, very literal.
So that costume and the name of Red Hood was originally the Joker. Well, Joker was one of the first ones. I don't know if he was originally.
It's been retconned, too. Not our original, but it is in the original
comics, but they retconned it later to say, yes, that was Joker.
Right, yeah.
But so Batman was fighting a character called the Red Hood whose costume very much resembled what was in this book. And Batman threw that Red Hood over into a vat of acid.
Ace Chemicals.
And the Joker was born. So that's where this costume came from. I don't know if it was like a duplicate costume or it just had the pill bottle head with some variation with it. But that's where this costume came from, and Thank God it didn't last long.
Yeah.
Do you know, was Jason Todd trying to say something with this? Say that he was born from the Joker too? Like,
yeah, I think so. Okay. It has ties, strong ties to the Joker, because the Joker murdered him. He came back to life and became the Red Hood. He had a different costume when he first came, but then after Batman's death and they were doing Batman Reborn, he changed it to this.
Okay.
And then he went back to his old costume, which was much better.
Yeah.
It was, this was the first appearance of him in this costume, right?
In this version, yes.
Okay.
Not as the Red Hood, but yeah, in this costume version.
Okay.
Which it didn't last because the hood ended up getting exploded.
And yeah.
So that's why he changed it. And yeah.
Yep. I did, we'll go into the book later.
Yeah. But it was a good inspiration for other awful looking costumes.
Yes.
So, Jared, what is the first bad one on your list?
I did not like, and I might be one of few.
You're fired. Get out of here.
I thought it was a bad costume was the Batman mech suit that Jim Gordon wore during
New 52. It was the end of New 52,
yeah,
I believe.
It was after Batman Endgame where
Bruce died again.
Yeah, both Batman and Joker were seemingly killed. And so Powers Tech, which is kind of an homage to Batman Beyond with Powers there, and they decided to fund this mech suit. And
the Iron Man of Batman's.
Yeah, it would be used by the GCPD, pretty much. And Jim Gordon, who was, he had lost his job because during Batman Endgame, he was mind controlled and he killed civilians on a subway. So he kind of lost his job, but he became the new Batman during that time.
And he shaved off his mustache, stopped smoking.
And then looked about 40 years younger.
Yeah, that's crazy how that
works. It was just not a great story arc.
So if the moral of the story, though, is if you ever want to look younger, just shave off your beard.
I guess. I think I look worse.
I didn't say better. I just said younger.
Just younger.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm conflicted because, honestly, though, that story arc wasn't bad.
I didn't care for it much.
I mean,
I think it was because I'm like, they're going to let Jim Gordon be Batman. It's like, well, let's just get anyone to be Batman.
To be fair, at that point, the Batman story had been stagnant for a while.
Oh, very much so.
Because they started the Court of the Owl stuff, which was phenomenal. There's a whole bunch of who gives a crap. And then, okay, well, now there's...
Oh, Batman's dead. We got to do something.
It was, for me, it was the start of the upswing of Batman again. Okay, well, this is... Yeah. Because you know it's not going to last. It's not going to be forever.
It was also, like, New 52... The timeline on some of that stuff is so jacked up because Batman was supposed to be like 25, but Dick Grayson was also 25 or something like that, you know.
Interesting.
But that's the impression I got. I don't think they actually ever said anything.
Well, they had Superman and Action Comics going on at the same time, but one was when it was young, like year one Superman versus one veteran Superman. And
right.
It was just...
New 52 was not that great. It had great spots.
It did.
It really did.
The Court of the Owl stuff is the only thing that was worth remembering.
The
Barbara
Forever Gordon. Evil.
Well, and the Batgirl stuff.
Batgirl stuff was awesome
before
with her
they did
brother.
The Burnside stuff. Like, it was dark and gritty. Like, it was it was really good.
Yeah, especially with her brother.
Which Batgirl was it? Was it Barbara Gordon? Okay.
Yeah, like, that was really good.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah, it really wasn't. New 52 was just hit and miss all over the place.
There's a lot of misses.
Yeah.
Because they reset the plug on a bunch of stuff that didn't need reset.
Yep.
Some things, sure,
Aquaman was good.
Some things do need to be reset.
Yeah.
But some of the things, like, why?
Yep.
You're getting rid of Superman's underwear. Look.
Yeah. And is Superman back in his underwear again?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought so. It's like, all right.
Well, the reason was because there was a lawsuit at the time that DC might have lost the rights, the image license for Superman with that look. So that's why they did the whole New 52 to relaunch everything. And, he has a new costume now, so it's different in case we lose the lawsuit. I think they ended up settling out of court / winning. So it's not an issue now.
Yep.
But that was part of the reason why they changed his costume.
I saw a headline online, speaking of Superman, I think there's a Superman movie being made in Cleveland area.
There is
The Descendants?
Some stuff being shot in Ohio.
Okay.
Specifically, there's some shooting down in Cincinnati. And do you know why that's important? the Hall of Justice.
Oh yeah, is in Cincinnati. That's right.
So that's what the theory is. Like, they're gonna use, then one of the upcoming movies is going to be the Hall of Justice, and they're going to use the building that's in Cincinnati. That was the inspiration for it. So
I'm up for that. Yeah, bring that on.
I'm willing to scout that out.
I mean, because I think we need to take this
podcast on the road.
I mean, maybe. Or at least we can go on the road and then talk about it. I don't think I want to bring all the equipment with us.
Yeah. We'll go down and take notes.
Yeah.
And pictures.
And pictures. Yeah. So, first one for you was the...
the super heavy bat suit, whatever.
Iron Man bat.
Yeah, Iron Bat.
Iron Batman.
There we go.
Or Bat Iron Man.
Iron Batman sounds better.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're making fun of it, so we want it to be worse.
Oh, yeah.
The Dark Knight of Steel?
That's actually pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Moving on, then.
Yeah.
First on my list is a classic X-Men, Cable, with his gigantic shoulder pads.
That one almost made my list. I saw the picture. I'm like, oh, that's bad. A million pouches.
Like, yeah, I'm, on my list, I have pictures of
that one. Yeah, that one is bad.
Where, like, okay, the shoulder pad is so big, there's no way he can turn his head.
He almost looks like a pharaoh. Remember when they had the big head pieces and it's going down their shoulders?
Kind of.
See, a little bit.
For me, it just reminds me like of a, how do I say?
A cobra.
No.
Oh. From here, it looks like a big snake.
A Lely, non-descriptive NFL team costume, like the football pads. Like, it looks
very much
it's
so. Like,
it's generic. It's, we don't have a license for the NFL, but you can tell they're playing American football, but it's a cyberpunky and futuristic almost. Like, oh, it's different now. Like, I can see Back to the Future when they went to the future originally. But like, I can see that being a football costume that they'd be wearing just because it's dumb. But yeah, Cable's always had a bunch of pouches, always oversized, like, he has grenade-sized bullets and stuff. Like, I get they do make some of those, like, grenade launchers, but not for everything. And
no.
Especially when you're firing a gun that fires energy beams.
Yeah.
You don't need bullets.
Right.
But that's a good old Rob Liefeld, I believe, is the one that is known for drawing a lot of his oversized pouches and weird body shape in general and everything. But... yeah, Cable is one that I was like, that one's always rough.
Yeah, I was scrolling through just looking some up, and that picture crossed, and I'm like, that almost made my list. Yeah. I'm like, I bet somebody else is going to talk about that one.
Yep, I had to pick that one. So Laura, who is first on your list, other than Red Hood?
I was going to say first, we already did.
Yeah,
First
on that was the inspiration, but the actual list now.
Oh,
so now you got to come up with extras now.
Yeah, I barely came up with any. Like,
oh, that's okay.
As usual, I come up with an idea, and then I have nothing to back it up with. I'm like, you guys carry me, right? So I Googled 15 worst costumes ever. And honestly, this website, I think it's like Comic Book Reviews or whatever, the CBR website, they listed a whole bunch of things, and I was like, looking at the pictures, and I was like, I don't understand what's wrong with this costume, honestly. Like, apparently I have bad taste.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that were, I saw the same thing. I'm just like, I don't agree with this list. There's some horrible costumes out there.
Although this one I did agree with, it was Hawkeye, and he's in like this purple, very short skirt looking vest thing.
I remember seeing that one too.
He's showing a lot of leg, and I was like, that's awkward for a man. Like, I hope he has underwear underneath, that sort of thing.
I mean, I would hope so too. Yeah. I don't know why he was wearing that at the time too.
Yeah, they said something about he was missing during the post-Skrull war, and he joined
post-Kree Skrull war.
Yeah, and something about a carnival. He joined the carnival, and I don't know why the carnival means you need to not wear pants.
Any carnival in general.
You just wear weird clothes.
And it was also Avengers 99 through 108 that he had this outfit. So if you all want to figure out why he was in this costume, that's where you need to start. But yeah, it was just... the biggest thing for me that irritates me with costumes is, like, function. If I feel like you can't fight crime in your costume, you're doing something wrong. Like, if you can't maneuver, although I guess he is free and loosey-goosey, but...
you can feel the breeze between his legs.
Yeah. But for me, I'd want coverage. I would want full body armor. I would want a 10-foot wall between me and my opponent, that sort of thing.
Especially when you're a regular human. Like, you don't have super endurance or super toughness or anything. Yeah. Like, he's just a regular human that can shoot. Now, he can shoot really well.
Yeah.
But you can still, like, get punched or shot.
Yeah.
Or stabbed or, like...
Yeah, you might want some sort of padding.
Yeah, at least have some sort of, like, knife protection. Like,
yeah, at least some knee pads.
But something. Yeah, that was a weird choice for him. Yeah.
Yep. That was number two.
Jared, what is your number two?
Black Canary from the 1980s. Pretty much, she had a jazzercise suit.
Yeah, it was very popular at the time.
At the time, it was.
Oh, yeah, that I came across that on the list, too.
I mean, it almost looks like it'd be... Honestly, it looks more comfortable than her regular costume that she is.
I'll agree with that.
Fishnets.
Yeah. Like, it'd be like in today's society, going out to fight crime in yoga pants and stuff like that.
Athleisure, I think is what they call it.
Something like that, yeah. But there was a whole weird story arc. It was a time where they were retconning Black Canary. It was... Basically, that Black Canary's mother was living in her comatose daughter's body. And
living vicariously.
Yeah, pretty much. It was weird. And I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
I only remember bits and pieces, and I actually had to Google some of it. So I'm just like, it was not great. But yeah, I hated that costume. I thought it was just so ugly and so very 80s.
And so when she changed it, didn't she like burn it? Like, okay, we get it. You hate this costume.
Yeah.
We're burning it away.
Yep, she lit it on fire on the cover of the comic and everything.
The boots look kind of interesting, too. They're like parachute boots.
Yeah, just about. It was...
Was that for aerodynamics so she could glide further?
I don't know.
Because I just assume she flies since she's a canary, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Okay. Does?
She doesn't.
I'd say I don't think she does.
No, the only thing she has is her scream
yeah.
power. Mm. And she's a expert martial artist and stuff. But yeah, that costume was bad.
Yeah.
That, and it was like this blue jazzercise suit with this black stripes up each leg that comes into her stomach, and then there's like a bird emblem on her chest, but it's not attached to the shirt. It was like flares out from the suit too, and it just doesn't work.
I mean, yeah, then you can't always win.
No, not at all. But at the time, they were trying to reinvent Black Canary, and I think that character at the time was very stale, and no one cared. So they were trying to reinvent and reinvigorate. And
then they throw her with Green Arrow.
Yep, pretty much. So, yeah, other than that, Black Canary suit.
Yeah. Next one on my list, I'm going to give a description of it. You guys tell me which character this is.
Wow.
It looks like Thor, but with long enough hair that he actually has a ponytail. It has a leather jacket with cut-off sleeves.
He looks like Thor.
Yep.
He has a leather jacket with cut-off sleeves.
Yep.
But his hair's in a ponytail.
His hair's in a ponytail.
But he's Marvel?
It is Marvel, yeah. He's a Marvel character.
And is he a Thor universe character?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know a lot of Thor characters, honestly.
I got nothing.
Thunderstrike is the name of the character.
Thunder? I wouldn't.
And who is that?
Yeah. That is that guy. That, to me, looks like the Superboy version of Thor, because like how Superboy would always wear that leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well,
very much so.
We need a younger version ish. So he has the standard four dots on his chest, because that's Thor, I guess, from the classic mythology and whatnot. Instead of Mjolnir, he has a miniature like mace thing. Like, it's still on a stick, not the flail mace, but like the stick one.
Gotcha.
And it has like, it's tri-cornered though. And supposedly, like, he was Thor briefly when Thor was dead, or not.
One of the times Thor was dead.
Right, yeah, I mean.
How do you kill a god?
That's a great question. The trick is not killing them, it's keeping them dead.
Oh, apparently. Touche.
But yeah, Thunderstrike, he was just the guy that, for a little bit, he did get granted Mjolnir. And then, like, 2 days later, Thor was like, yeah, no, I'm taking that back. And he still somehow got this... Uru enchanted stick still. I don't even know the name of it. But yeah, his Thunderstrike, and because like, hey, look, what's a generic version of Thor? Well, he, you know, God of Thunder, Thunderstrike. All right, here we go. But yeah, for me, it always reminds me of like Marvel's answer to the Superboy with the leather jacket. Like, oh, this is, I mean, Thunderstrike is an 80s character, so it was like the beginning of that time, and it was rough.
Yeah.
And that's why no one remembers Thunderstrike, other than every once in a while, there'll probably be a random miniseries to pop up just so they can keep the licensing.
Yeah, he'll be in it somewhere.
He'll be in the MCU at some point, probably. Once Hemsworth is done being Thor, all right, well, then we need another Thor-like, so let's go with Thunderstrike. I'm sad that I'd probably be right with that.
You might be.
But, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't such a blatant knockoff of Thor and Superboy. Like,
yeah.
It's like, come on, guys. Try, just have a different Asgardian take over for a minute then, which they did. I mean, for a minute, Volstagg was, quote, Thor. Yep.
So. Wasn't Beta Ray Bill?
That's super messy.
Okay.
Yeah, because wasn't there a little arc where like everyone was Thor, like when Jane Foster took over for a minute? Because I have a comic upstairs, I know I do, of like Beta Ray Bill as Thor in like all these one-shots where everybody was Thor.
Yeah, I mean, because Beta Ray Bill has his own powers of Thor. He has his own equivalent of Mjolnir. I think
doesn't he have Stormbreaker?
I think his in the comics is Stormbreaker. But I know Thor has Stormbreaker also. Or that was in the Ultimate Universe that I can remember. I don't know if it was actually first or not.
Yeah.
But yeah. Beta Ray Bill, Thor calls him basically, oh, he's my brother. Not necessarily biological, but we're similar powers. And he's used, for a minute when Mjolnir was broken and gone, he like tried to steal Stormbreaker off of Beta Ray Bill. Like, no, I need to have this power. I don't care that it's yours. It's mine now. But Thor was going through withdrawals, so it's
all good.
It's slightly forgivable. But yeah, Thunderstrike, because he's super memorable. Laura, who is next on your list?
I decided to pivot. Sorry, I got distracted. I really wonder why I have all those issues where all of a sudden everyone was Thor but Thor. But anyways, I thought I would talk a little bit about Mary Jane as Jackpot. Even though I didn't particularly hate this costume, because I listen to other podcasts about Spider-Man, I hear a lot of other people dislike it. I don't know if you guys really remember when she...
Oh, yeah.
The way a lot of people have described it is that she looks like she came straight from Las Vegas and is one of the like girls who walks around and convinces people to keep gambling. Like, has the little suit.
I can see that.
Showgirl-esque. Not quite a showgirl, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it's revealing or anything, but it's... Like, some of it almost looks like a... I almost want to say like a necktie, like you're almost wearing a little suit.
Like exaggerated. Like
a real suit.
Like it's drawn on necktie almost.
Yeah. I know they were trying to go for like diamonds on her legs. And the biggest thing that bothers me in like the first issue that I remember, this one that I'm looking at right now is Gang War number 1 from, how long ago was the Gang War now? I guess that since it's over.
December, maybe?
Wow.
December, January?
Oh, okay. That's not quite so bad.
It's not that old. It's pretty new still.
It feels long ago. I've just been through a lot. Life's gotten hard. But easier in some ways, too. But anyways, the thing that's bothering me looking at this that I thought was worth mentioning, she's got these like sunglasses on, and the way her bangs are over them, it kind of reminds me of how Dr. Octopus always looks like he's got the glasses on and his bowl cuts over top of them. Maybe I should have made one of Dr. Octopus. Like a
disheveled look almost.
Yeah. That's not a costume issue with him, though. It's a fashion choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for her, it's a choice also.
That's true.
Not necessarily a good choice, but I mean, I don't have
that aspect.
I don't have a problem with it because, she's definitely going with a slot machine look, I guess, but still not trying to look exactly like Harley Quinn, because that's when you run diamonds with the red, like you get to Harley Quinn territory really quickly. Yep.
Yeah, that crossed my mind too. I was like, when I was thinking about this, I definitely thought of Harley Quinn's diamonds too. But yeah, the biggest thing is her bangs, but I guess I'm, as a girl with bangs, I hate it when my bangs are that long that they're touching my glasses. Like, I cannot stand that. So when I see it on other people, I'm like, no, get your hair off your head.
I don't have to worry
go
about
bald.
That problem.
That's why I keep Alex around. The hair is off his head, except for his chin.
It's upside down. My face is upside down, basically.
Yep.
Jared, I only have a couple more, so if we wanted to do rapid fire of
Yeah, I've got, I'll do a combination. So this first, it's Teen Titans of the New 52 stuff. Raven, do you remember her suit?
Yes, because it's on my list and it's on Laura's list as
well.
Okay. Oh, basically, is Raven Starfire?
Sorry, not Raven. My bad.
Not Raven?
Starfire's on our list. Never mind.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. That one didn't bother me.
But as soon as you said New 52, I was like, oh, yeah. I just immediately went to other Teen Titans.
So Raven, they changed her costume to where her cape was a bunch of feathers. And she had a feather mask. And I saw it on the internet. Someone coined it the chicken suit. And I'm like, I can't unsee it now.
Yeah.
So like, it's chicken boot.
Horrible. Like, her whole face was covered. I'm like, how do you see through all those feathers and stuff? It was that just is interesting. Bad.
Because she uses her magic sense to see.
Yeah,
I guess. It a series of mirrors?
But they got rid of, like, the hood, the cloak, you know, and went with this. I'm like, really? That's your artistic choice?
Because Raven, bird, so more she needs to look more bird-like. She needs to
have more feathers. It was bad.
You're just having a big bird day. I mean,
I guess.
You had Black Canary, Raven. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Yep. And then the other one was with the Teen Titans. They did that whole story arc with their Tron suits. Do you remember that?
Nope.
You're much better off. I can't tell you what happened in that, but the suits, they were all just basically black suits with Tron lighting or the, you know, lines across them like that. They were bad.
I mean, I usually like Tron stuff.
But the Superboy one looked good. I will admit, I did like the Superboy suit, but the rest of them and combined, they just did not, it didn't work.
I'd say, I know Disney, I mean Marvel, they did the Tron variant covers when the newer movie came out. So I had all the Tron for everybody. Like, that looked pretty cool. But it was integrated to the...
But that was well done.
Well, it was integrated to their already existing costumes. It was just slightly tweaks versus a brand new thing.
Right.
And, yeah.
And it was just bad all the way around. So...
Speaking of bad all the way around, Codpiece. I don't know who this character is other than as a villain for, like, a one-shot. The supervillain is Codpiece, and he shoots a cannon. You'll never guess where he shoots the cannon out of.
I think
from his codpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose
villain is he?
I don't know. I just googled worst costumes.
Yeah,
ever,
that's
like
that's exactly what you would expect from a character.
You
like
definitely
gotta
be careful with recoil on
that. Yeah, that looks very inappropriate.
I mean, yeah,
like. Is he Marvel? Is he?
Yeah, I believe he's a Marvel.
Okay. I'm surprised they'd go that way.
But, yeah.
That has to be a 90s.
You know what? Let's see.
Do a Google Lens image search.
Marvel.
Who is this guy?
Character.
Oh, he's DC, actually.
Oh. DC character.
From Doom Patrol. He's a Doom Patrol villain.
Oh, that was DC's, like, that was more of a Vertigo, more adult-oriented. Not adult, but obviously adult enough. Adult. DC character.
He's a real boy.
Real name, unknown. Alignment, bad. Identity, secret identity. He's an American citizen that is single.
You know who it is? It's Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
it fits very well.
Yeah. The weapons. Codpiece had a wide variety of functions, including use as a cannon, firing missiles, a sonic attack, two retractable boxing gloves, and a variety of tools such as drills and scissors.
I want to see the boxing gloves.
That's
how does he type with boxing gloves?
Is that a boxing glove? Or are you happy to see me? Yeah, just.
Ooh, yeah. That's rough. 1993.
The 90s, folks.
Yep.
So.
And we were worried about the 80s earlier.
He primarily robbed banks.
Yeah. I think he only showed up in like one or two issues, and that was it. I just know it was on my... I was like, okay, I just need a quick honorable mention that, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Another one, though, that is a awful costume, but awful by purpose, though. Penance, formerly known as Speedball. He was Speedball, and then the Civil War, he was part of the group of kids that blew everything up, killed a bunch of people, and his power was basically he would redirect pain or energy to make himself stronger, do other stuff. So the best way to do that is to always be charging yourself by always being in pain. It wore a full body costume that had tiny little needles that was constantly stabbing him every time he would move or anything. So he'd be taking penance for what he did. Of, you know, destroying everything and causing a civil war and whatnot. So he was like, have you good lucky, whoever has Speedball, but then that he experienced some trauma and changed his whole powers. He somehow survived the explosion. And yeah, he was like, all right, I need to make penance for what I am doing. And so I never forget, I'll always be in pain, but always being powered that way too. So like that definitely falls under a, oh, that'd be awful to wear at all times for a costume, but it makes sense for his power set to make him more powerful at that point. So yeah, penance was the last one on my list then. Laura, what are some last ones on yours?
The only other dishonorable mention I had was Starfire, just because, again, I feel like she's too revealing. Like, I feel like your costume should cover you.
It should have some sort of...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and hers tends to be, like, I actually got to the point where I am distracted when I read Red Hood. There was a time I tried to pick up Red Hood as an alternate to Spider-Man. I was like, oh, I should branch out. I should read more things. But every time she showed up, I was like, you just look ridiculous, lady. It's like, she had this super, she almost looked like Vampirella with the super V purple leotard thing. And then in some of them, it's just like covering her boobs and that's it. And I'm like,
which that costume was more revealing than her original, which her original was more was revealing.
Yeah, and like the long hooker boots that don't cover anything else. I'm like, why cover your entire leg except for the very upper thigh?
She's an alien and that's covering her vulnerabilities. I mean, she is an alien, but I don't
know. That means nothing.
Yeah, okay. I guess their different parts are exotic then for here.
Maybe then.
It could be.
You never know.
So this isn't comics, but I heard once that back in the day, I Dream of Jeannie, she wasn't allowed to show her belly button.
Yep.
So even though, although honestly, they still showed her midriff, but they just plugged her belly button
and so covered it with makeup, so she would be.
So they still showed the region, but like not the button.
The pod people.
They don't even have them.
Yeah, they don't even have belly button. So eventually, yeah, she was a pod person. I mean, the whole purpose of a belly button is from the umbilical tube.
Right.
So if she's a genie, then she was never born, so she would never have need one. So that's...
They were just staying true to genies.
Yeah, that's some way to word that.
Yep.
well, then shouldn't they all be blue, like from Aladdin?
And
Aladdin was wrong.
And not have other reproductive parts that still are there, but that's right. Not here or there. But yeah.
Yep, it's definitely not there.
Yeah.
Jared, last honorable mention?
Barbie doll. Yeah, any other quick honorable mentions, Jared?
No.
We ruined him.
So let's move on to books that came out within the last few weeks that we have, well, since our last episode that we haven't talked about that we enjoyed. Jared, you want first? You want to go first again or do you want to go last this time?
I can go first again. I enjoyed Star Wars number 45. We're still doing the trial of Lando Calrissian. In the last issue, they started his trial for basically selling out Han and, you know, being a bad guy who was, you know, working with the Empire. Mon Mothma gets kidnapped at the end of the last issue, but they're just continuing on with the trial. They're like, okay, get people out looking for her, but we're gonna finish this trial. So this is like a witness testimony and stuff like that.
We're spending taxpayers' money. We're gonna keep going.
Right. Yep. Pretty much. But Leia gets called to testify and gives her account of what happened on Cloud City, to where Lando just kept getting worse and worse for him, and he finally realized that he had to fight. So it was from Leia's
perspective.
Yeah, perspective of the whole event. And Lando's like, she sees it how she sees it, you know. And it was good to see the difference of, like, insight to Empire Strikes Back and everything. But we do kind of leave a little bit of a cliffhanger. We're still looking for Mon Mothma. But we did find out that the crew that took her is basically ransoming her off. They're doing it for money. Whether the Empire is going to pay more or the Rebels are going to pay more, I think it's going to come to a confrontation and everything. But we'll see where this goes. It's been a pretty good story arc. Charles Soule is still doing it. Oh. And he's doing a bang-up job. I've been really enjoying Star Wars here recently.
That's good.
Yeah, that does sound good. I may have to look into that one.
Yeah.
Do we get that one at all?
Nope.
Okay.
I can bring them and let you guys read them.
So
it's still set between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Han is still missing and at Jabba's.
I mean, yeah, he's still frozen.
Yeah.
He's still chilling out.
Yeah, that's when this series started, was in between the two movies, and we're on issue 45 and still between the two movies.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a lot. You'd think they'd be...
Well, Star Wars time frames are
2 years iffy. In between-ish, give or take.
Yeah, but they just pack so much content. This all happened within 2 years. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of the Clone Wars stuff happened within a 2 year period, is what they're saying in canon right now, or whatever it is, 3 years. I'm like, there should be like, that should have been like a 10 year war. And the rebellion was only a couple years. I'm like, I thought the rebellion was like 20 years for, you know, not full conflict and everything, but.
Sorry, kind of, Jared, but you're proving my point again. and I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast or not, but Star Wars fans are the worst of all fandoms.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm part of that.
Yeah, just because...
You're part of the problem.
I am. I'll admit it.
I mean, because everyone has their favorite Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
The other, so whatever.
Right.
But there's the fans versus the fanboys. I think you still fall under the fan under this standpoint.
Oh, I agree. I'll complain about certain things.
But you don't read every single thing. You don't know every single plan. You don't know every single continuity error.
Right. If the story arcs are good, I like them.
Right.
If not, I can move on. Like that complaint I had right there, that's not something right. I, you know.
No, don't be wrong. It's fair.
We're just talking about the time frame of issue 45. Fair, and there was a lot. There's been a lot that's happened in this series for just a year or two.
Right. It's like that. Those arguments perfectly fair, but those couple weeks go back. So a customer came in and we're somehow talking about. He's like, "What is the worst fandom?" I was like, "Without question, I said Star Wars."
Agreed.
Magic the Gathering being second place just from the smell alone.
Agreed.
If you know, you know. but Star Wars. It's because everyone nitpicks about this, that, and especially the, when Disney bought it, they said they're going to fix continuity and there's still continuity errors. Yeah, it's going to happen. And the reason why they reset anything that said it's not in the movies without continuity is because there was so much contradictory stuff. Like, yeah, we're still going to contradict because inevitably they're going to keep doing more to make money. That is what it is.
Yep.
But they cut it down a little bit, and this way they can control it a little bit better, too. When George had the license, he's like, "Oh, you want to write a Star Wars book?
Yeah,
sure. Just write me a check. Like anybody can just write me a check." And I don't blame him for that at all.
No, not at all.
That's a great way to make money.
Made off a lot of money off.
Made a lot of money off of that.
Yep.
So I don't even blame him for that.
No.
But it's the fans that ruin it for everybody else, especially the newest trilogy, where people that are our age that have seen the movies like, "Oh, they're garbage. They ruined my childhood." Well, but what about the kids that are watching it now? Because ultimately, Star Wars is made for kids.
Yeah, and we can all remember how much crap, like, Jake Lloyd, or is that his name? Jake Lloyd? Whoever played Anakin Skywalker in The Phantom Menace. Jake something. I don't know if I had that right.
Oh, pre-Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even Hayden got so much flack that they just treated those guys like crap. And then our generation that grew up with the prequels and stuff love them.
And then when we get Hayden Christensen as Anakin again in the Ahsoka series, everyone's like, "He's back. We love him." Like,
yeah.
You guys
hated him 20 years ago. It was
like,
you know.
But I still say Star Wars is for kids because ultimately Star Wars as a property exists to make toys.
Agreed.
Toys are for kids. Agreed. So if like, "Oh, this doesn't make sense. Why would they do this?" It's a kids show, guys. You got to do the basic concepts with the exception of the comic books. Those are for the adults. The kids aren't, let's be honest, the kids aren't reading the comic books. Those are the fans that are the one keep reading it.
Yep.
Or at least teens,
yeah. Andor is the only like, okay, Andor is like Star Wars for adults, full stop. Like that is because it's a drama.
Yeah,
it's
I would say that.
There's no kids going to enjoy that.
No. Now, there's a lot of heavy dialogue and concepts in there that, you know.
Right. I mean, look at Mandalorian. Kids. Who's that for? That's for everybody.
Yeah.
Not just the fans, too.
That's a Western shoot 'em up type of show.
But you have the cute little Grogu that will sell merchandise like crazy.
Yep.
You have Mandalorian with his catchphrases.
And he's a gunslinger, you know.
We're giving away a life-size Grogu for free comic book day. Hint, hint for our listeners.
May the 4th be with you.
On May the 4th. So, yeah.
Between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., by the way. Plug, plug.
Yes. Star Wars is ultimately for kids.
Right.
So when this or that and the other thing contradicts, it's fine, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know people were upset about Bad Batch, the opening sequence. Like, oh, that's already breaking continuity of what was already established in whatever. Who cares? It's a show. It's an animated show.
Yep. Kids are going to like this stuff. So be it. And I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
Given the first season was the best season of that.
We don't have Disney Plus right now.
I haven't finished season three. I'm partially through. I just haven't
season
finished.
Season two was fun.
But it was the thing.
Yep.
The
I'm excited for Asajj Ventress coming back.
Yeah.
So.
But either way, still, Star Wars fans, chill out.
Yep. It's and enjoy what you like. Just ignore the rest.
And if you don't like it.
And with social media, I think social media clout right now is, oh, I'm going to be negative on my review of this to get more viewers.
And we'll get more into that later, too, because I have a story for you. but let's go to Laura. Let's go opposite direction this time. Laura, what is one of your favorite books that came out recently-ish?
Okay. Sorry. I was debating if I wanted to go back to the Star Wars thing.
Sorry.
I'll get on. Sorry. I'll get on.
I'm trying to evolve.
Yeah. I got to remember to stay in my place. What I really loved, it's been forever ago, it feels like now. We looked up that it was April 3rd. They relaunched the Ghost Machine universe. Or
Ghost
I guess
Machine is
technically...
is full steam ahead now. Like, it's actually... Machine has been switched on.
Yeah. So that includes at least the three I've got in my hands now are Geiger, Redcoat, and Rook Exodus. But Geiger is the only one I actually had time to read, which is sad that it's been like 3 weeks and I still only got to one of them. I'd like to preface, like, I got a new job, I'm trying to learn new stuff, I'm trying to read other things.
Life.
So that's what I'm blaming.
No excuse. Yeah.
But I did read Geiger and I really, I don't know why I like this guy so much. I think he's hilarious, which doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
he's
not
really
funny
at all.
The first series.
Not funny, but it's the way he interacts with people. It's like, you know.
Yeah, cool. I guess it's because he's kind of standoffish.
Yeah, very
and
much
like,
so.
And like that's my jam. Like he doesn't want to be the hero, but he is. Like he's just helping people because along his way that works out for him. And in this particular issue, he meets Nate the Nuclear Knight from Dayton, Ohio, by the way. And this guy is claiming that, oh, I've seen other men with your powers. Well, I guess just one. And he got cured. And if you let me hang out with you, I'll find this guy and we're going to figure out how to cure you so that you're not radioactive anymore. And he becomes his sidekick. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, is he just saying that because he doesn't want to be alone? That he wants to continue stalking this guy?
That
or,
is pretty cool.
Like, what? What's going to happen?
Well, and if listeners are remembering, we did read Geiger before. Mm-hmm. They did a mini series a couple years ago. We did on the podcast. We did an episode for the book club book. And this takes place after that. Mm-hmm. However, if you did not read the trade, but it still sounds interesting, you can totally jump in on this and read it by itself and it's good to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only thing I would maybe recommend would be read the Ghost Machine one shot that came out at the beginning of this year that has a little bit of a sample to this and all the other Ghost Machine books that are out and or coming out eventually. And the reason I say that is because normally we do carry the Geiger trade, but we sold out the week this issue came out. And we have not been able to get it back in because the distributor sold out because everybody else wanted it as well. Mm-hmm. So like, way to go, guys. You're launching a new thing. You know it's going to be popular. Come on.
And it's Geoff Johns is doing the whole thing, isn't he?
Well, he's doing...
Yeah, it's his whole universe.
Of Geiger. He's not doing all the Ghost Machine stuff.
Oh, he's not?
No, because...
Well, he's doing all the ones I liked.
Maybe he's launching
all of them. I don't think he's doing Rook Exodus, is he?
It's all right on the cover.
Maybe he's just co-writing it then. I don't know.
Maybe he's co-writing, and maybe he's just getting it launched and going to have somebody else come in.
Okay, he's not doing the whole Ghost Machine. He's doing the unnamed universe.
Yeah, that could be.
Because Ghost Machine is the bigger bubble picture. Gotcha. These three are the same universe then.
Gotcha.
Well, actually... Exodus does not have the unnamed button on the front. Here, you can look through it.
The
Red Hood or Red Coat does have,
they have the
little stamp on
it. And they have like the timeline in the back of it too of when this is going on. So yeah, I think it's looking like maybe Rook Exodus is not part of the timeline.
Yeah, at first I thought it was too, but I like for how they describe the planets, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, looks like Rook Exodus is still the Ghost Machine, but it's not part of the timeline, and so it's not in the same universe as the unnamed So the Unnamed has Redcoat, which is in here.
Oh,
the
Junkyard Joe is going to be in
it. Junkyard Joe is going to be in it. The Northerner is going to be in it at some point. Because they have a little timeline that says, oh, all this other stuff that's going to be happening eventually. Widow X, whoever that will be. So yeah, there's a whole bunch that they're teasing that will be coming out, which I like that they actually have an in-universe timeline of, oh, that, like that. Of that universe.
Yeah, it's definitely different in the Exodus ones, so, yeah, though.
So Rogue Exodus, I would say at that point, is not in the continuity of the same universe as these guys, which I'm glad because I was like, where would this fit in? So I was just mistaken. It's not the same universe.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the other ones that were in that one shot. What did? Oh, it was just the Ghost Machine one shot. Yeah. Some of those were like Hornsby and Halo, Hyde Street, Rockefellers. But then this one's also showing, I don't remember, Devour, First Ghost, and Soulless. I don't remember those being in the other
one. This is just being teased of eventually being a thing, probably, but has not come out yet.
But yeah, so let's see. At Ghost Machine Pro is their Instagram or whatever.
Their social media handle.
Look up Geoff Johns, spelled G-E-O-F-F-J-O-H-N-S.
Geoff. Or Geoff Johns.
Yep. Yeah, because he's writing Geiger more, and we like Geiger, so. Yep.
Are those still in stock?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm not the very first volume, though, right? That's what you
said. No, I mean just me the new.
Oh, just this one. Yeah, okay.
The trade of Geiger is not.
Okay.
Nor Junkyard Joe. I think we're out of both those, actually, now.
Yeah, well, I might stop in tomorrow and pick those up.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we should read Junkyard Joe. I remember my old coworker Cody said that he really liked Junkyard Joe, too.
So I'll move on to one of my favorite books that actually one of my favorites that's been out this year, Uncanny Valley number one, written by Tony Fleeks from the, you may know that name. He did Stray Dogs. He did the new series called Feral that just came out recently as well. But this is a story about a kid that is new to the school. He's hanging out with his friends and they decide, hey, there's an old bridge over a dry riverbed. Let's jump off of it. And which is funny because the whole, if your friends would jump off a bridge, would you jump too? Obviously, this kid is yes. But it's weird, though, because he's perfectly fine, not hurt. The kids are crying on the ground, broken bones and whatnot. But when the kid lands, there's like a perfect outline of his body in the mud.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he went to Narnia.
So he was fine. Then he gets called to the principal's office because they were ditching class to do this. And they called his mom in, like, hey, you know, this is like the third time he's been unexcused. One more, he's going to get expelled, blah, blah, blah. Then you find out there's something weird going on with his family tree that, because like, he has a school project to do his family tree. And his illustration is his mom and him. That's all he knows. He knows no one else through the family tree. Like, nope, this is kind of pathetic. I failed because I don't have anything. So he's at home watching TV. Then some weird stuff goes on where a bunch of birds show up out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, boom, with a giant panel of
literally
boom. And what I can best describe as a generic Yosemite Sam shows up to his house.
And that's his dad.
Oh, that's great.
That is his grandfather, actually.
Oh, okay.
So they find out that apparently he's some sort of cartoon character of sorts,
or a cartoon that's history. That's why he made that outline.
Which is why I made the outline. one of the things he got yelled at school is because he lit a fire in the school, but the fire was because he ate something really spicy and his head burst into flames, like in the cartoons.
I thought it was going to be a fart.
When they eat too many spicy things, you know, they spit flames and fire comes out their ears and everything. That's why. So somehow he's part cartoon of sorts. And it's really weird, but I really enjoyed the first issue. I'm excited to see where it's going to go, because it looks like they could definitely do some actually like licensed cartoons that are in there, because that definitely looks.
What publisher is it?
Boom Studios is the publisher for this.
But yeah, at first the way you were describing it made me think of Save the Cheerleader, Save the World, the old heroes thing. Yep. It's like, didn't she jump off a bridge because she found out she was invincible?
More or less, yeah. but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun first issue. I'm excited to see where it's going to go with it. So yeah, it kind of reminds me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's the cartoon world mixing with the real world. But apparently they can procreate, and some people have cartoon abilities and some don't, maybe. Who knows?
Some of them do the nasty and the pasty.
Yeah. So Uncanny Valley, number one, definitely worth checking out, folks. I think it's only a 5 or 6 issue miniseries, too. So it's not even a huge investment.
Was that this week or?
It came out last week, actually.
Okay.
Last week as we're recording this.
Okay.
Jared, what is your other pick of the week?
I keep going back and forth between three of them, actually.
Well, how about not this one?
Okay. I'll go with
because Batman. I'll talk to you about that after we're done with the books.
Okay. I'll go with Batman number 146. This is Dark Prisons part two. He's still kind of in his own prison with Joker. The Zorinar stuff has been happening. Failsafe is running around Gotham as Batman because he's got Bruce Wayne's conscience in him or whatever. So he's basically taking crime off the streets. If you've been a criminal, he's been taking you down. And so far it doesn't look like he's killing anybody per se. But we'll see. But the prison that Joker and Batman are in, Punchline breaks in with her own robot things, I guess. So Batman's like, okay, we're going to use that as a distraction, and I'm making my escape. So we're headed to Batman versus Failsafe part, what, four now or something? So something we'll like that, yeah, we'll see where it's going. But the Failsafe Batman has been pretty good. Damian's following him. But Damian does discover that Failsafe is working on Amazo 3.0, which is Amazo is a robot that can kind of duplicate everyone's powers.
Okay.
Pretty much. So we'll see where this is going to go too. Superman does confront Failsafe, but he's like, I'm Batman. Well, I'll stop. You know, you can try to stop me, but you'll lose because I'm Batman. That was basically the gist of the conversation, so I thought that was fun.
He's used it before, yeah, so he can use it again.
Exactly, yep. So I did enjoy Batman 146. That's been good. It's Chip Zdarsky.
He's been doing great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing he did that I didn't like, which I don't think was his fault, was the Joker year one. That was garbage.
Yeah, you could tell. I think I picked up like the first issue, read the first issue, and I'm just like, I don't care. It felt like he didn't care.
It was forced upon like people, yeah. The people at the DC, like, okay, do this now.
Yes, he's just like, why? Like. Okay, I'll do it.
Well, what do you want to be about? I don't know. Just do your comic book thing and do it.
I forget. Was Punchline the one who had like that internet Instagram type following for a while?
I think so, yeah. Yes. I forgot about that.
It was saying Punchline was right. Like she was leading a revolution of sorts against everybody.
Yeah, wasn't she trying to say that none of it was her fault? Yes. She was like brainwashed or something. Okay. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've read it and remembered her.
She's been getting better and better as a character since her introduction.
Sprinkled in is what's best for her.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to see like
sprinkled in. Just don't like focus on her. Just sprinkle her in here and there.
Yep. That's been working, and I think fans will like this character more with that.
Yeah,
It could lead to some bigger and better things, but keep sprinkling it in like it is. Don't overplay her.
Right.
And you should be fine.
Yep.
Not like Joker's daughter, when it's like, hey, Joker's daughter, force down your throat.
Right.
No one cares.
Yeah, now I don't remember who she is. This
character is crap.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, didn't she come out just shortly after the daughter? Because I confused them for a minute.
Like 5 or 6 years later.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not
by my timeline.
I mean,
yeah.
It was. I don't think it was as quick as you think it was.
You could be right.
I think there was some decent amount of time. Because Joker's daughter came out when Joker had his face ripped off. So
that was New 52 era.
That was beginning of New 52.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Like, that was
short. I bet you're right. So I bet Punchline came out.
And you have to factor in COVID. It was before COVID, and that was 4 years ago already.
Yeah. I'll have to check when Punchline actually debuted and stuff.
Well, her versus Joker's daughter.
Yeah. But if they don't force feed her down our throats, I think people will be fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did much better with Punchline than, exactly, Joker's daughter. Like, all of a sudden, there were a couple new characters, and I was like, oh, they're spicing up the DC universe. That's cool. Except they screwed up one, and I think they're doing better with Punchline, though.
Let's see. She first appeared in Batman 89. April 2020. Hmm. And then I don't, like, I don't
right
even
at
remember.
The beginning yeah. of COVID.
Pretty much right when stuff shut down. Might have been like the last shipment of comics before their comics were like, ah, we're holding off.
Maybe that's why she stuck out to me. That was when I was reading more comics, because that challenge came out to read so much and review your comics in like two sentences or less. Or was it seven words or less? It was something crazy.
So quick Google of Joker's daughter. Her first appearance was technically 1976.
Wow.
Is what this says. Dula Dent. I don't think this is the Joker's daughter that
No, the current one looks like 2014, so you're right.
So it was 10 years.
Yeah.
So 6 years in between Joker's daughter and Punchline. Hmm. I thought it was a while ago. The last 5 years have been weird.
Oh, yeah.
Time is wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah.
If there was, time was irrelevant there for a little bit.
For some people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was essential.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've convinced everyone now that I'm not essential anymore. It's great.
But another essential thing would be one of your other picks that came out this week. What would they be?
I'm torn between Blow Away and Dudley Dotson. Dudley?
How about we both say Dudley Dotson and we'll talk about it together since we're going a little long on time anyway.
Okay, good. Because Blow Away kind of wasn't that great, but it was just the other thing.
It was pretty. It was a lot of white on that pages. It was about a story in the Arctic. Not a whole lot happens, but Dudley Dotson.
Yeah. Okay. And The Forever Machine. It was by Scott Snyder, which is definitely worth mentioning, and a handful of other people that you can figure out later. He's working at attending the Brooklyn Academy of Engineering.
That's Dudley, not Scott Snyder.
Oh, sorry.
Dudley's attending
Scott Snyder wrote the whole thing. Wrote the character Dudley Dotson going to this academy for the Young Inventor Society. And, yeah, why don't you take over?
It starts off with, like, quick background of everything's going on, which is like, okay, I don't really care, like the great inventors, blah blah blah. But it starts out with him giving a presentation almost naked in front of everybody at school.
He's dreaming.
It's not actually. Then we're flashing back to what happened earlier that morning, where he's inventing special, like, smart clothes, I think is what they called it. Or
the clear, flexible LCD threads that make smart clothes he calls duds.
His friend named him the Duds. They're like, oh, yeah, fresh duds.
Oh, I thought he named it that. Okay.
Well, at least they said that the friend named it.
So they turned into the bad version of duds. That's a dud.
Yeah.
Right. More or less, actually, yeah.
One of the threads got ripped while he was walking out on the stage. And when they're in there, when they're not charged, then they're clear. So his clothing was invisible.
Yeah.
The Emperor has no clothes.
So he wasn't going commando.
He was still wearing clothes, but it's just smart clothes were invisible. Because, like, it showed him, like, what it's supposed to do, where you can be a superhero. You can have a space suit.
It was like a symbiote.
Kind of like a technological.
Like when Spider-Man's like, I want to be that guy from Aerosmith.
Yeah. A technological symbiote. He's going to the school, and there's a bunch of kids that are super smart and whatnot, and.
And the professor's dog, Daedalus, doesn't like him.
But then something bad happens. Which, who would expect something bad to happen in a comic book?
Right.
Where his professor is in a weird exosuit, almost dying, then all of a sudden the dog that hated him starts talking to him. And you find out there's this whole secret society of inventors, and the world is not what it seemed to be to an average citizen like him, versus only the greats of history know about the secret society of inventors and
the chemical society.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they mention how each of them had a pet, and then the dog's like, yeah, cause pets are important, like me.
Well, you find out the dog is not just any normal talking dog, mind you.
Yeah. He's not just Brian from Family Guy.
It's Daedalus, the ancient inventor that had Icarus as a son and everything like that from Greek.
Yep, Greek mythology.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Perdix was also his nephew. That's important later. Right. Another cool thing I want to mention before I forget, the clothing and some of the other things that Dudley does gave me a lot of Miles Morales vibes, because you know how Miles can turn invisible in his suit and he can do the spider zap, venom zap thing. And at one point, Dudley like overcharges his suit and like zaps one of the characters to escape. And so I was like, oh, he's got a Venom Blast too. Good for him.
You know, since you mentioned that, yeah, it's hard to... It's hard to unsee. He's super smart. He's an inventor. And he, yeah, that's a little bit Miles Morales-ish.
But in a good way.
Right. And one thing I'm inferring from this, I don't know if it's right or not, but all the other ancient inventors that had their great pets, I think all those pets were deadless that would transform into different animals throughout time.
I kind of got that impression a little bit too.
Which, they don't explicitly say it, but I don't think a corgi would live thousands of years by itself. So if he, and he's like, why is this dog not aging? Versus if he can change animals for different people to potentially blend in.
So it's more likely that he can transmute himself into other creatures than that he's just a thousand-year-old dog.
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
Yep, that's that's where the line's at.
As long as we're clear.
Right. I imagine we'll find out later what's going on with that. But it was still really good, though. And it's a, I mean, and it's a $5 book, but it's a, there's a lot of pages here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of why I picked it up. I was like, this one feels like it's going to be good. And I think you had said, oh, I liked it too. So between the two, the one you thought I read and this one, I actually read this one because it looked like more bang for your buck. And it was.
Yeah. And Scott Snyder, which is.
Yeah, and that.
Oh, if nothing else, he's a recognizable name. I'd say he's always hit or miss. Whether. And even his worst stuff isn't awful. So I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. So, yeah, I thought it was worth reading. All right. Before we move on to the next segment of book club, Jared, I specifically told you to read what this week?
Nightwing 113.
Okay. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good, gonna be right?
It was one of my hesitant picks. Yeah. Couldn't decide.
So there's some controversy about this issue.
Ooh.
Can you guess what it is? It happens bad fairly costumes. Early on. I mean, first of all, I'm not a fan of the new art that they have in this book. It's a weird artist. I'm not a huge fan. It is what it is. I'm just reading because Tom Taylor still.
Is Nightwing racist?
No. What page are you on? Okay, you haven't reached the controversy yet. I'll kill the suspense. It's that page there that is on your left. So in the book here, we see Oracle was asleep, Barbara Gordon was asleep. Then Nightwing answered the Oracle call. He was talking to the people for him. No big deal. Reference is like, I could handle it, but you slept right through it. I didn't, if there's anything really major I need you to take care of, I would have woke you up. Whatever. The very bottom part on that page, though, what is being said between...
Oh, they were talking about Dick Grayson was wearing her clothes at one time.
Yeah. Apparently, that is hugely controversial. And,
really?
And Tom Taylor has been getting like a bunch of threats from people on the internet. Like they're burning pictures of him and like throwing outrage of it and everything. Because apparently at some point they changed, they costume swapped. And that's where I say.
That was controversial?
And that's where I say.
I thought it was like comedy going through stuff like totally this, was. You know? The way I took it. I'm like, oh, and that's funny. You know?
It's not offensive. He just said, hey, that we tried it, didn't work, whatever. Like.
Wait, he's just even talking about it?
You don't even see it in this book.
No.
Okay. It's like an offhanded remark of, oh, we tried that once, didn't work.
Yeah, whatever. They said, if you're going to impersonate me, you should really commit and dress in my clothes as well. Dick Grayson says, I mean, we'll give it another shot, but I thought we decided that really didn't work for either of us.
Okay.
So
I thought that was funny.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're playing in the bedroom, and that didn't work for either of them, so they're not going to do it anymore.
Thankfully, from what I can tell, Tom Taylor's taking it in stride online, like,
good.
No big deal.
Good. If you listen to this, Tom Taylor, we don't hate you.
Right. No.
I thought it was funny.
What I want to address, though, is it's almost too soon of the anger for it, too, because I don't know if either of you familiar with the artist Ed Piskor.
Nope.
He's a comic artist.
I've probably seen his
He has done a bunch of different variant covers and like it's a very unique style, whatever. But he committed suicide like 2 weeks ago because of cyberbullying.
Good Lord.
Now, the problem is, as much as he said, she said, there was rumors that he had almost Me Too accusation of grooming a girl, but he never actually went to see her. Never, she was underage at the time they were talking. Never again, the evidence, I don't have it all, so I don't know.
Yep.
But he ended up like, they kicked him out of conventions that he was booked to visit and everything. He lost some publishing stuff. He's like, I'm 45 year old. I don't, and he committed suicide because he had nowhere to go with any of his career or anything. Because enough of the people just jumped, snapped judgment, started hating him, threatening him and his family and everything. And he committed suicide. Versus Tom Taylor, he did this, and he's getting threatened also. Like, guys, someone just died because of accusations and right. everyone threatening their livelihood. Chill out.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has Tom Taylor, we've praised, like, of great things he's done?
In 5 years, is this issue going to matter that right. much?
Versus potentially someone committing suicide over it. Like,
right.
that's where, like, the chill fans out. Need to really chill out with some of this stuff.
Yeah, now if I took serious offense to that, I probably wouldn't. I'd just be like, okay, I'm not reading this anymore.
Well, I mean, Tom Taylor.
I'm not going to sit there and go online and complain to Tom Taylor. I mean,
there were complaints a couple years ago when he did Superman, Son of Kal-El.
Oh, yeah.
Where, okay, well, John is gay now, or at least he's bisexual. People were throwing a fit about them, but as far as I know, they didn't, like, threaten him. They just, like, oh, they just were mad at DC in general, not actually him. Versus this one line, they're throwing a fit about this now? Like,
right.
Especially when it's only like 2 weeks after someone committed suicide from the cyberbullying and everything. Like,
yeah.
Within the comic book industry. Like, guys, this is not good. This is not okay either.
No.
So I just wanted to bring that up. I know we try to talk positive things, but also the stupidity of the throwing a fit about that one panel that you don't even see anything. It's definitely taken in a joking stride. Like, eh, whatever. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know about the controversy until Mark said something to me yesterday. He's like, oh, apparently people are like burning his pictures. I'm like, wait, what? Then I read the book. I was like, wait, what? I read the whole thing. What is... I think they think I somewhat know what's a problem. And that was nothing to throw a fit about.
The people that do this, I wouldn't mind people going back through their social media history.
Right.
And just seeing how much... bigoted or
right
you know whatever they are compared to what they're complaining about.
You know, most people think that I'm fairly level-headed and quiet, like you guys know me, so you know this isn't true.
Oh, that's not true at all.
If you go through my social media, it is terrible. Like, I'm probably I would never run for a public office, because if somebody really wanted to dig it up, they would find all kinds of terrible stuff that I've said in the past. And like, being an angsty teen with the internet, a good and combination. People
change over time, too. Your beliefs when you're 20 years ago aren't the same as what they are now.
Right.
Because of life experiences, you learn different things.
Yeah.
You
different mindsets you're at. Like,
right.
Now, it's something you did, like, last week. Okay, then, like, you know.
Probably if you're, didn't we need change to address as much. That.
Right. If you're judging today's standards by a yesterday action, that's different versus today's standards by 10 years ago action. That's two different conversations.
But, like, the cyberbullying and stuff like that, they... People like that will preach, oh, we need education and you need to learn and be more accepting and this and that. Because
he's being too offensive with this.
But we need to burn your pictures and everything. Right. And,
now, like
and
I
what
said,
does that solve?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Other than just,
you know,
virtue signaling is all it is, really. But, I mean, again, at least with this, it looks like he's taking it all in stride. Everything's
good
fine
for
with him. Hopefully it stays that way.
Good for him.
Because a lot of other writers and publishers have come up like defending, like, no, this dude's great. What are you like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
If you're that against it, quit reading it.
Right. And plain and simple, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to address that because, like I said, I know we try to be positive with our podcast, but with someone committing suicide over the hate and then this happening also,
it's hard to stay positive.
I'm not saying there's, it's a trial of public opinion for the guy that committed suicide. So he could have been guilty. I don't know.
Right.
But there was no actual trial. There was no actual formal charges pressed or anything.
Right.
And the fact that people went after his family, that always drives me nuts. Like,
right.
You can't judge a person, a person's family based on that one person.
Right. Like, especially after he committed suicide, then everyone's trying to hound them for like, oh, well, talk. Well, they just lost their family member. Like, leave them alone. They're grieving now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because of... it's mental health. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, I'm not in the guy's position where, you know, you lose your whole career. He's a single guy. So okay, that's not great for dating then too. If you're labeled as someone that grooms women and like, that's bad. So it's just the snap judgment without any actual evidence of anything. It's just one person that said this. Again, I don't know how
it could be true.
It could be true.
Yep.
But what is true
and
is
if it is true, I would hate,
what is true is the guy did not go to the girl. He did not, like, actively it wasn't to catch a predator, like crossing state lines to do stuff like that. Now, if he messaged stuff, then if he might have found out after, because at the time he didn't know she was underage, but he might have distanced himself once he found out. I don't know. Again, I don't know the details.
Right.
I know enough that he got basically blacklisted and committed suicide because of his whole career was done.
The biggest thing that should have come out of that is the person that was, quote, being groomed should have gotten help.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that people should have been focusing on.
Yeah. It's just, but again, I don't want to go too much on that.
Yeah. That's just, people should leave Tom Taylor alone for that.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was funny and I, you know.
And what controversy with this? I just don't understand that. I mean, I can see from a certain point of view, but like also it's a joke.
Yeah.
If you don't like the joke, that's fine. But don't go full salt, you know, burn everything.
Right.
Don't do that.
Yep.
But moving on to a potentially more positive note. our book of the week was Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn. But if you don't want spoilers on this, Jared, what are we reading for the next episode?
A Spider-Man book.
A Spider-Man by...
Tom Taylor.
So that's why getting like, oh yeah, we have this Tom Taylor book. And I knew I was going to tee up with this conversation about how much we love Tom Taylor. And the reason why I picked Spider-Man also is because Regal Cinemas in Fort Wayne, they are doing every Monday a different Spider-Man movie in order. So this past Monday we saw Spider-Man 1. Next week we'll see Spider-Man 2. Then the week after that will be Spider-Man 3. We'll see if we actually get with that or not. It's my birthday, so maybe not.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Because it's not good also.
And I have to work the next day.
So. Yeah. So
it's a long drive to go from work to there and get back in time.
We learned this week of seeing it like, oh, that was a lot.
But, and they asked me to come into work an hour early.
Yeah, too, that didn't help.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was like, oh, we're having Spider-Man Mondays. So let's read a Spider-Man book also. And it's Tom Taylor with that. So that'll be what we'll talk about next time. In the meantime, Jared, you made us read Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn. How dare you? Or why dare you?
You did this to
us. I don't remember the why.
Other than we talked briefly about one of the previous episodes. Yeah, we wanted to
do a DC series. And I think we were talking about the current Batman and Robin arc. And I always said, I liked the Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne dynamic between the two.
And then this was on the shelf. And then
this was on the shelf, yeah. I always preface this, I'm not a huge fan of Grant Morrison. Some of his stuff's good. I enjoyed this.
He's another hit or miss person.
Yes. But I liked this because Dick Grayson's filling the role of Batman after Bruce Wayne's death.
I'd say, so obviously I was not, or Laura and I were not reading this at the time it came out. So what led up to this happening? Just for context.
Final Crisis. Darkseid hit Bruce Wayne Batman with his Omega beams and, quote, killed him and was sent back in time. Yeah. So they did this whole A Battle for the Cowl where Tim Drake, Jason Todd, Dick Grayson were all kind of who's going to take over as Batman. And Dick Grayson was reluctant to do it because he had already established himself as Nightwing and stuff like that. But
it's a step sideways. Not necessarily back, but sideways.
No, so sideways for him. But there was no one else. Jason Todd got his butt kicked by Nightwing.
Definitely not worthy.
Tim Drake's just like, yeah, you can have it, Dick Grayson.
I'm still a little young for good. Batman.
And yeah. Damien's like, let me at it. And they're like, it's like Damien's... when you hold a kid back by his forehead and he's like trying.
Right. Because Dick Grayson's just like, I don't know if I'm filling the shoes very well. And even in this book, Damien's like, fine, I'll do it. You know? So
I think Alfred was the one who gave him the most encouragement, but of course, Alfred always.
Agree, but Alfred, I like Grant Morrison's versions of Alfred and a lot of his stuff because he hits that English snark very well in a lot of his books that he's written with Alfred. So some of that stuff's great with that. This one always stood out to me with Professor Pig. It was a new character in the series, and he was insane.
He was freaking weird, man.
Yeah. It worked. Like, it was like a cult follow. He was doing a cult thing, but he was burning these images or these masks onto people's faces and making them beautiful.
I do wanna...
It took me a while to figure that out, though. Yeah. At first, I didn't realize they were different people
who are with the same mask.
Being,
And when they medics were trying to take the mask off, their face was coming with it. So it was fused. So there's a lot of good stuff with there.
I do want to preface, though, I'm not a huge fan of this art.
Like, no, it's not awful. It's not Frank Quietly. His stuff's hit or miss.
It's unique. It is definitely unique on its own.
Yes.
But
I like his backgrounds, cityscapes, and stuff like that rather than I do like his faces.
Well, in the combat sequences, like I don't like all the extra lines. Yeah. There's a bunch of lines. There's a bunch of extra lines instead of like a matte shading from black or anything. Like, okay, we'll just draw a bunch of scratchy lines.
Right. I remember this from when I first read it. I hate this face. I'm like, that is not great.
So that's the end of, or that's the beginning of issue one.
The end of issue one.
Or that is the, just for those that did read it.
So
with the girl that gets kidnapped when she's screaming for her dad.
Yep, her dad gets the mask put on him, and it's also drugged to where, what was the drug they were using? It was basically like a...
It's a hypnotism of sorts.
It does a hypnotism and short-term memory erasure, and they can control people, and it gets them addicted to it and everything, so he's trying to control people pretty much.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize it was a drug, but I knew that the masks were controlling them somehow.
Yep.
Okay.
Bad guys were using them to control prostitutes. They'd get them hooked on this drug, and they were easier to control pretty much.
More docile.
Yeah. Like. Yep. So... Professor Pig was the creator of this drug and was able to basically modify it. He was going to give it to all of Gotham so he could rule Gotham type thing and hold it for ransom and this and that. But Batman and Robin stop him. But the big thing with this book for me was Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne's conflicts.
Well, just the interactions between them and Alfred. I'm like, trying to find, how do we get this balanced?
Yes, it was the balancing act that really fit together, because Robin's like, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. Dick Grayson comes and saves him. You know, it's just Dick Grayson never gave up on him.
Speaking of Dick Grayson saving him, there's one part that was the most disturbing in my opinion. Not the face getting melted off of thing. Like, yeah, that is what it is. But it was Professor Pig doing like a strip tease to Damian while he was held captive.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Like...
Yeah, when I first started watching some of that, I thought it was, he's changing clothes. And then it just kept going that.
It's a full-on, he pulls the shirt open and
he drops
his butt down and everything. Like
pedophilia a little bit, or.
I mean, again, the dude's insane, so don't rule anything out. But, like, do we really need that part also?
No, we didn't need that.
I feel like that's a little much.
Oh, yeah. If I were to recommend this to anybody, it would not be kids.
No, absolutely not. I mean, not Nathan Grant Morrison, no.
Right, yeah. The new character did debut in this was, what was his name, Peacock? No, the Flamingo.
The Flamingo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the new
kind of got taken out pretty quickly,
though. The new henchwoman, Scarlet?
Scarlet, which she was the kidnapped girl that got the face put on her, but she didn't go crazy.
Well, I mean, she went crazy.
She would did, but yeah, Jason Todd, who was in the pill costume of the Red Hood in this one, was... had rescued her and started to train her to be his Robin, pretty much. Mm-hmm. After Jason Todd got taken down, she disappeared. So she shows back up later in the series, but I would have to go back and reread it and double check.
Not in this trade, though.
Yeah, not in this trade. So there's a lot of stuff that happened in this. I had forgotten how much I did enjoy this, though. Again, I'm not a fan of Grant Morrison, but like you said, some of it's hit or miss of his stuff, and I enjoyed this one.
Yeah. There's really two stories in one of this. The Professor Pig at the beginning and then the Red Hood afterwards.
Yeah. Yep, agreed.
Which, I mean, there's only, what, 6 issues in this?
Something like that, yeah. I think it was 6 issues.
So to get two story arcs in one book, that's pretty good.
Yep, they lead into each other and everything. It's the first part with Professor Pig is almost Scarlet's origin.
Yeah.
And leading into the stuff with the Red Hood. So it was done very well, I thought. And Professor Pig was just such a creepy character that was just, they did so, Grant Morrison did really good with him for a debut villain like this.
Well, I love, again, the interaction with Alfred. Like, you can tell when someone's good at writing Batman when they write good Alfred lines.
Yep.
Of when Alfred was hyping up Dick to take over the role, he was like, yeah, but think of it this way. You're a showman. You're raising the circus. Yeah. Think of this as just a giant performance then.
Right. Like, I loved that
and
stuff.
That built the confidence. It's like, oh, that's good. I did enjoy that.
Helping Dick Grayson comes to terms with being Batman.
Yeah. There's one last thing I want to talk about that happens at the end. Laura, do you have anything else that you want to mention about this book in specifics, I guess?
Kinda. One thing that I read in the back matter, because I think, I forget now, sorry, it was been a minute since I read it. They mentioned how Mr. Toad was a character at the beginning who was working for Professor Pig. And that was actually a character from The Wind in the Willows. Like, they stole him from that.
I didn't know that.
And I thought it was interesting how a lot of Batman villains are, like, taken from children's stories. Like, a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
Like, Alice in Wonderland?
Mad Hatter. And, yeah.
And Solomon Grundy was from the nursery rhyme also.
Yep.
So, that was a little thing that I noticed in there and thought was interesting. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention that I didn't like was I don't understand Damian's attitude. Like, how he's...
He had a superiority complex.
Well, I get that.
Because he was raised by the League of Assassins, and he was basically lived in a criminal lifestyle where they're, you know, the toughest fighter is the leader type of thing.
But how did they let him have such a mouth that he can... He says everything that's on his mind, too. I get that he thinks he's better than everybody, but he says it so often, I don't understand how Ra's al Ghul didn't slap his face.
He probably did, but now no one's doing that. So now
some of that was Ra's al Ghul, he would say, you're the heir to the being the leader of the League of Assassins. You're the chosen one. So he's constantly being told, I'm better than everybody.
And now no one's slapping him in the face. You're going to stop him from saying that.
Right.
Okay, so I need to realize he's like my niece. My brother's there, she's fine. But as soon as my brother turns his back, then she's like, I can get away with it now. He doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say that's close like that.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Because I was like, how did he survive? Like, if he'd have been with them.
Smacked that stuff down pretty quickly, too.
Yeah.
But now Bruce is dead, too.
So Dick Grayson is trying to undo that damage and make him a better person at the same time, and to continuously butt heads may not be the way to go.
Okay.
I think that's a lot of it right
there. He needs to slap him in the face.
Oh, agreed.
I mean,
come on, Dick.
I thought so, too, towards the beginning and even later in the series. They do get to working together very well, so they do start to mesh, and it's a good series.
Okay.
I do want to think that it's funny at the beginning. We're like, oh, they can't get us. They're in the Batmobile. And the Batmobile flies now.
Yeah.
Like, how Dick was like, always wanted a Batmobile that would fly as well. It's called the Batwing, dude. Like, I love that. Like, that was part of, like, you can tell there's a new Batman in town.
But
so the Batmobile flies
in the Nightwing issue, what does he get?
Oh, yes.
Boatwing.
He gets a boat.
Because in the past couple issues, he's like, yeah, I've had pirates and nautical things. Adventures. He's like, I should have a boat for Bloodhaven. Right.
I love.
He's a billionaire. He needs a yacht.
Yep.
Because in the time, Batman has been missing for like 6 months. There was no Batman.
Right.
Because he died and whatnot. But new debut with this new Batman with a new Batmobile that flies now. Also.
Yep.
I really don't like the design of the Batmobile.
Oh no, I didn't think of that either.
It's pretty rough. In my opinion, it's unique. I'll give it that, but not a huge fan. But I do like at the very end, what is the last thing that Batman says in this book? Do you remember?
Nope.
Oh, neither do I.
Zur-Nar.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and reread some of that stuff because I think Dick Grayson did go crazy in some of the later ones.
What does that mean? Is that English? Are those words?
It is.
Oh, I know what's.
It is
what
Batman.
That is. It's Batman's corpse.
Okay.
What?
I remember that now. It's a vault that was the password to the vault.
And then Zur-Nar, they're currently going with in the current Batman series, is Batman with all Bruce Wayne cut out of that psyche.
So pretty much.
100% Batman, no Bruce Wayne.
He created Batman Zur-Nar so if people were trying to mentally control him,
he could take over
and he could go crazy and not be influenced by the mind.
But not go crazy enough to kill still, because he's still under the Batman. It's Batman Extreme.
Yeah.
But I did find it funny, like, that was the password to see Bruce's body.
Yeah.
And that's, I was like, oh, I know Zernar because that's going on right now. So yep. I just myself found that funny. Like, yeah. I never heard of Zernar until the series, but then this back one has it.
I think Tim Drake, during this series, didn't believe Bruce was dead.
So he might be trying to, like,
he was trying, I think he was trying to bring Bruce back, if I remember right.
But it's definitely a tease to see what goes on after this.
Yep. So. Yeah.
I didn't know what any of that was.
No, that's fair. But at least I'm reading the current Batman, so I was like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah,
but I think but how does that, Dick, what does that mean?
I think Dick goes crazy in this series.
It could be. It makes
sense. Not extremely crazy, but something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've this is the first time since the series. Well, no, I've read it since then, but probably in
first time 8 in the last years.
10 years. Yeah.
But yeah, so 1 to 5, 1 being off of 5 being great. Laura, what would you rate this? Batman and Robin, Batman Reborn.
I kind of feel like a jerk, but I really didn't like it. Sorry,
Jared. No, I gave that's it fair.
But like, that's not awful, though. We've done worse.
Oh, yeah, we've done worse.
I just kept getting confused. Like, I kept going back pages. I was like, what happened? Like, I didn't follow the story.
Yeah. That's Grant Morrison's MO, because there's been a lot of Grant Morrison. I'm like, I don't know. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you guys describe, you describe it way better than it read, as far as
But I'm this concerned. Is also my fifth or sixth time reading this series, you know what I mean?
It was my first time.
Yeah, my first time, so I was, like, confused, and the things I did understand, I didn't like the striptease with the pig, and
that was
weird.
Yeah.
What is going on? And, yeah, I didn't, like you mentioned, there were two stories kind of going on, and so when Pig ended and Todd began, I was like, oh, hard shift, okay, but at least you were right. Scarlet's thread. Scarlet does seem like an interesting character to come out of this.
Yeah, she was.
Build off things, and that'll be good.
I don't remember what happened with her, when if they just did away with her during New 52 or what. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and check.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It was fine. I've read worse Batman books. I read better. I did like the Alfred. For me, it was the Alfred interaction with everybody is what made the book, like, to see them, like, he needs to be a mentor all over again. Like, okay, been on this road before, but this is how you take care of a kid that's angsty and teenage-y, and, like, here's how you do that. Like, I enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
So, I give it a 3. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm a mix between 3 to 4.
Oh, just go 5. Just do it.
No, no. It's not a 5. Not by any means.
There is one means. As far as Grant Morrison stuff goes, it's probably a 5.
I'll go with that. For you. This is probably my favorite Grant Morrison story, yes. If you're comparing all of Grant Morrison stuff, this is a 5 out of all of that. But
in just the world of Batman general, or in general.
I really enjoyed the Dick Grayson and Damian dynamic. And I think some of that stems of where it goes after this volume. So if I just rate this volume by itself, I would say a 3, knowing having an idea of where it goes, I would go 4.
I mean, I would definitely be curious to see where it would go with that.
Yeah.
If I had time to hunt down and read everything else.
Right.
But I don't. So, like,
It got a little
right.
monotonous and stuff like that when Bruce Wayne came back alive, because Dick Grayson didn't go back to being Nightwing right away. There was 2 Batman floating around. Mm. And it's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So.
But they can defeat twice as much crime if there's 2.
Yeah, but he could do that as Nightwing.
All right, so again, for next time we are reading
Spider-Man by Tom Taylor.
There you go. Yeah,
is it really just Spider-Man?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's
Spectacular, just Friendly Neighbor.
The series is.
It said it was a collection of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, but I think the title of it
the
was.
The title of the trade is Spider-Man by Tom Taylor.
Okay.
That collects his stuff that he wrote. It was like 14 or 15 issues, because we're doing it 3 weeks. Like, okay, we can read a whole lot of Spider-Man. I think Laura will be okay with us reading Spider-Man.
Yep. I assume that's why you picked it.
So that's what we'll be reading. So in the meantime, let's talk about our heroes of the week.
Oh, shoot.
Comic book or otherwise.
One of these days I'm going to remember this.
I could have warned you, but I decided not to. Laura, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I can kind of make something up.
Okay.
I admit I was winging it earlier And I was just going to say, oh, I should say Tom Taylor as kind of usual because it's our book for next week and because Spider-Man and all that. But once you mentioned that he's dealing with this controversy too, I'm like, well, it should definitely be him because he's not going to back down from making a joke that's just a joke. And to go back on that a little bit, just because like Dick Grayson... Wait, it was Dick Grayson, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And Barbara Gordon talked about wearing each other's clothes. Do you know, like, we wear each other's clothes sometimes, Alex and I, because they're t-shirts. And they're just the different size. Like, he's got an XL and I've got a large. When we lose weight or gain weight, we trade clothes because they fit now. They're actually the same shirt. Like, we have two or three shirts that are the exact same.
Yeah.
So, to definitely take that out of context, no pictures, no nothing, like, oh, we wear each other's clothes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does work, because they're t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if you're going to pick that, or if Jared's going to pick that to scramble.
So yeah, she stole mine, thanks.
I think everyone should have Tom Taylor as their hero.
So
tonight.
I'm going to pick someone else, right, that I Stanley? Thought that you might have picked before that, our friend Josh, because he's the one that told us about these Spider-Man Mondays.
Oh, I should have said that. Thank you, Josh. You're still a hero.
Yeah. So, yeah, veterans of the store will know Josh used to work at Alter Ego. We're still friends with him. We're still hanging out with him. And he messaged Laura last week or a week before, I don't know when, saying, hey, Fort Wayne is doing this. And we're like, all right, we're going. Mm-hmm. So if only Lima would have it, that'd be cool. So we wouldn't have to drive an hour and change. But whatever, it's fine. It's fine.
I can drive us there next time.
Yeah.
That'd Not that fine. That's really any better yeah. for you.
But yeah, Joshua pointed out, because it was cool to see the first Spider-Man movie in theaters. Like, mm-hmm. that was cool. So, and we'll see Spider-Man yeah. 2 in theaters.
Yeah, especially the audience reactions.
Yeah.
Those are fun. Especially, everyone loves J. Jonah Jameson. I forget the guy's name. But yeah, every time he came on the screen, people were like, yeah! And I am like 100% when that movie first came out, no one gave a crap who that guy was. But now he's J. Jonah Jameson across the multiverse, so that's really cool.
What is his name? It's going to bug me. I'll look it up. Well, J.K. Simmons. That's who.
J.K. Simmons.
That's who's Jonah.
That'll be my hero of the week. There we go.
Jared, who is your hero of the week? Comic book or otherwise?
We'll go with J.K. Simmons.
Because of Spider-Man.
Yeah, because of Spider-Man, and he voiced Invincible, Jim Gordon, different things.
And he has farmer's insurance.
And I got nothing else.
Yeah. So with that, we'll say, thank you for listening, everybody. Sorry if you hear Peter in the background. He's barking at something outside. But Stanley's inside in here just chilling out with us. But we will be back in roughly 3 weeks, barring any other scheduling conflicts. We'll see what happens. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Peter was good until the very end. Mm-hmm. He's like, I have a hero. I want to say something.
Oh,